My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. Hello, I'm Pip and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast, the home of expert information and real chats on all things pregnancy, birth and beyond. Remember, as a podcast listener, you can get 15% off all my online courses at midwifepip.com using the code PODCAST15. High BMI, plus size, obese, high risk, all labels you may have heard or been told during your pregnancy. How does a plus size pregnancy alter your care, and should it? What are the possible risks, and what can you do to ensure a supported, positive, and empowered pregnancy and birth, regardless of your body size? On this week's episode, I am joined by a specialist plus size pregnancy midwife, which in itself is really exciting because Alice Keeley, better known as the heavyweight midwife on Instagram, is giving such holistic and supportive advice and information, which is really honestly lacking in this field. Alice has been a midwife for over 20 years and has spent 15 of those specializing in plus size care. She's helped hundreds of plus size women have happy and healthy pregnancies with her positive and empowering approach to plus size pregnancy and birth. She's conducted her PhD research exploring plus size pregnancy experiences, and her academic publications have been used in national NHS pregnancy care guidelines. She's a teacher and a writer and the founder of The Heavyweight Midwife, which can be found on Instagram and at theheavyweightmidwife.com. So welcome, Alice, and thank you so much for joining me this week.
Oh, Pip, thank you. Thank you for that introduction and thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm really excited, Alice, because as I mentioned to you before we hit the record button, this isn't something that I have massively delved into in my own practice, and I know that you absolutely have. So I'm excited to learn from you and pick your brains today as well. But before I do, I just wonder why you chose to specialise in plus size pregnancy.
Oh, yeah. So as you mentioned, Pip, I've been qualified for a bit over 20 years, which makes me feel quite old now. But I was so lucky early in my career. I was working in London and I worked in a team which cared for women with existing medical conditions. So heart conditions, inherited conditions. And I worked within this amazing team which cared for them in pregnancy. And doctors, midwives, all the specialists there were just so committed to kind of keeping that ethos of birth as a special family event, you know, no matter the circumstances, even when things were complicated, you know, not losing the focus on the woman and on pregnancy as this really unique event. So I kind of was instilled with this ethos early in my career. And then I guess alongside that, on a personal note, having my own children and just living in a woman's body for throughout my life, everyone's got their own relationship with their body and their weight and body image. So it's something that, you know, I've been at different weights and had different feelings about my body. So I guess those two things kind of combined when this more senior job came up to specialize as a midwife in plus size care. I just grabbed at that chance with both hands and I've never looked back. It's completely become my drive and my passion since then to promote happy and healthy pregnancies for plus size women. And just sort of focusing on that normality in inverted commas, focusing on the pregnancy and not on the weight. And just sort of dispelling the negative and anxiety inducing messages, which unfortunately do come across from the media and sometimes also from healthcare providers too. So what I know, you mentioned my PhD, what I know from my clinical work and my PhD, is that plus size can be sometimes a bit stigmatizing. And, you know, that's become my mission really, is to kind of push back against that. So, yeah, I've been doing it for 15 years and it's absolutely my drive and my passion, and I love it.
Yeah, and that totally comes across in the work that you do, Alex. I love your Instagram page because that passion for normalizing it and breaking down that stigma and not making women feel worried or constrained by the size of their body really comes across. So thank you for the awesome work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. I'm also
really impressed that there's a specialist role in plus size pregnancy, because that isn't the case across all trusts, is it? So I feel like where you work is a step ahead.
Yeah, and there aren't enough, you know. Unfortunately, at the moment, the direction of travel is that specialist roles are being cut rather than expanded. So it's really important that all midwives are kind of on board with the ethos of focusing on individualized care, you know, looking at the woman and her pregnancy and treating that as a special, unique event, a family event, and not just focusing on weight, risk, and thinking about kind of pregnancy rules, as it were. That's something that everybody really needs to be on board with, because unfortunately we're not all going to be specialist plus size, and there are loads of plus size mums out there having happy, healthy pregnancies, and we need to support that.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. Now, I know for lots of women, the idea of being weighed, pregnant or not, actually causes a massive amount of stress. And for many women, being weighed in pregnancy is a massive concern. And you arrive at your booking appointment, don't you? And one of the first things that happens is, oh, we're just going to pop you on the scales. And that little sentence for some women will instill absolute dread. What are your thoughts around that, Alice?
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts. I get asked a lot about this, as you can imagine. It's a really complicated issue. And so women, as you know, Pip, are recommended to have their BMI, their body mass index, calculated early in pregnancy as part of their NHS care. Because if it's higher, they might be recommended to have extra care, but also they might be recommended to have other interventions, and they may have some restrictions placed on their choices potentially. Now, BMI is controversial. It's not suitable for use in pregnancy, really. It's not perfect, but it is considered to be the best measurement tool that we've got if we're going to use one. So, you know, rightly or wrongly. And so just to put that message out there, it will be offered by your NHS midwives when you go to your booking. So it's useful to know that. But as you mentioned, of course, being weighed in itself can be really worrying, distressing. It can be triggering for some women. For there's many women with a history of eating disorders, for example, and I've cared for many women who've been worried or distressed by being weighed. So, and I have been asked on a number of occasions, can I just refuse to be weighed? And of course the short answer is yes. You know, nothing can or should be done to you or your body without your consent in pregnancy. It's your choice. But really what I'm about is I talk to women about digging a bit deeper into, one, what is important to you for your pregnancy, and what are you worried about, or actually what are you scared of? Because if fear is the thing that's underlying a decision that you make in pregnancy, then that is not a good place to be starting from. And I see so many women who are scared. They're quite scared or anxious before they go to their booking appointment. It should be something that you're really excited about. Because of this, because of either being weighed or just thinking that they're going to get told off in inverted commas or be judged because of their weight. So my advice is, if you can talk to your partner, your birth partner, somebody, get a really strong support, an ally, someone else that's close to you. And then if you can talk to your midwife about it, about your fears, if that's being weighed or other issues, then that will really help to get a plan in place that's right for you. And so what I think is so important is communication and relationships in pregnancy care. So if you can have an open conversation with your midwife about your priorities, your fears, and your reluctance to be weighed, if it's that, or if you're able to just ask about the reasons why being weighed is recommended, you know, have all your questions answered, then you can go forward then with openness and make a plan together. And maybe that means, for example, some people have been weighed, but they don't know what their weight is. They don't get told that. You know, getting that plan that's right for you, there's a number of different possible options to explore. But if your midwife knows your priorities, rather than just you giving a blank refusal or being weighed and feeling, you know, hating it, but not saying anything, then, you know, you can really start from there to get a good support together and that trusting relationship with your midwife. So that would be the sort of the starting point of my advice on that one.
I loved what you just said there, Alice, about if you are making a decision based on fear, then that's not okay. And actually, we talk about fear in the maternity system so often, don't we, around other things, and how we don't ever want fear to be instilled in women. But actually, that's exactly what this is doing, isn't it? So I really like that focus, that if the reason that you don't want to be weighed is because you're scared of possible X, Y, and Z outcomes, then actually addressing those outcomes first so that you're clear and you understand the rationale and you have that empowerment and that information is game changing.
Yeah, it's fear and stigma. So they're the sort of toxic two, the toxic mix together. And in my experience, women don't speak up because they just feel that, you know, there can be a dose of shame in there as well for some people, really sadly. And so they don't like these sort of rules that might be, as they see it, applied, but they too often don't question it. And so that's what I'm really wanting to encourage more, you know, more open conversation around. And if your midwife's not able to take that forward, or, you know, or there's no harm in you kind of starting that conversation. And as I said, having that support, either your partner or someone from your family, someone that can go along to appointments with you, as well as obviously when you're actually having your baby, then, you know, get that ally, get that advocate, that supporter.
Yeah, and I guess it's reassuring for women to know that for your midwife, this isn't going to be the first time that she's worked with someone having a plus size pregnancy. She'd have seen women of plus size pregnancies very, very frequently. So although you might feel like this is really new and you're the only one, actually for her, this is very, very common.
Yeah. And you know what? I am always really keen to stress, because I feel sometimes the social media stuff and what we're reading there, magazines, stories that we hear can make us feel, have an expectation from NHS care that I also want to push back against. The NHS is amazing at looking after women. So your doctors, your midwives are really, really skilled and really knowledgeable. That's not the issue here. And there are recommendations that might be given to you, which are designed to help to look after you. So it's the communication around it and understanding and kind of making that plan that's right for you that can be the issue. That midwives, the vast majority of them are such lovely people. You know, I teach student midwives. They're amazing and they want to give good care. And they don't want to upset you. Sometimes the conversation doesn't happen in the right way because there's a fear of causing upset, of causing distress. And so if you can lead that and have confidence that actually we have got safety in mind, we have these guidelines for good reason, you know, we could kind of bring it all together so much more successfully in a way that helps to promote that happiness in pregnancy as well as the safety.
Yeah, I love that. And it's empowering women as well to feel comfortable and confident and beautiful in their pregnancy and not constantly thinking, oh my goodness, what's everyone else thinking? How big is my body growing? And I think that's an important thing that we instill early on as well.
Absolutely. And I follow so many plus size pregnancies on Instagram and I just love it. I love seeing women posting pictures of their growing bump and just that kind of positivity around it.
Yeah.
Just absolutely love that.
Yeah, celebrating what incredible work their body's doing. Pregnancy just, I don't know about you. We've been in this game a little while, haven't we, Alice, between us? But it still amazes me what the female body is capable of.
Definitely.
Now, we mentioned BMI. And we typically do classify women using BMI in the NHS, which, as you've mentioned, does come with its own heap of unreliabilities, but we kind of haven't got any better tool, have we? So it's kind of the best of a bad bunch in terms of classifying women. But the other label that often kind of comes with raised BMI is that label of high risk, which I kind of hate, but it's kind of automatically applied, isn't it? Raised BMI, high risk, they kind of come together. Do you feel this is a little bit misplaced when it comes to plus size?
In a word, Pip, Absolutely. Absolutely. It is misplaced. It's inaccurate. Well, it's just, it just lacks meaning in a way. Yeah. And it really distorts in women's minds the chances of complications happening. And I'll explain a little bit more about that.
Yeah, please do.
So as we discussed a little bit before, so many plus size women tell me their weight is the focus at every midwife appointment. That risk gets discussed a lot. And that can be really anxiety inducing and can affect how women feel all the way through pregnancy. And many women do tell me that their care is great and that midwives are lovely and that doesn't happen. And that's brilliant. But risk is definitely too much of a focus overall. And it's often discussed, in fact, almost always, I would say, discussed inaccurately. But I've got great news on that score.
Good.
So all pregnant women are special and unique, and they should be treated as special and unique and not just labelled as high risk. And it's inaccurate because we don't know what an individual woman's individual chance of complications are. We just have experts' predictions, and they look at the whole population of plus-size women and they kind of make best guesses. And that isn't really very helpful for a special, unique pregnant woman. She doesn't want to know about population. She wants to know about herself, right? So what's really important to point out is that in a whole population of all pregnant women that the experts look at, the risks are a bit, and I mean a bit, raised if you're part of the plus size population. But because risk is always described in phrases like double the risk or four times greater than this,
that is a pet hate of mine.
It's really distorting. It's really scary. And it doesn't mean anything if you don't know your starting point. So four times greater than what? Actually, your risk remains pretty low. And I honestly think that plus size pregnant women, in fact, they've told me, they end up thinking that complications are likely to happen. And that is so inaccurate and damaging, so not the case. And that's why I think there's something really wrong in the way that we're talking about risk and giving it, the way we give our care. And that's kind of my main mission that I'm on, Pip, to change that. And because it's really, you remain low risk if you don't have a pre-existing medical condition, something wrong with your heart or a serious condition or diabetes prior to pregnancy. In pregnancy, you remain low risk. So your chances of complications happening are so much lower than chances of complications not happening. By far, your most likely outcome is no complications and a straightforward and intervention-free birth. And that is the bottom line. And that message, I think, is really lost and needs to be focused on, I think, by midwives all the way through the pregnancy care that we give. Mm. Our main role should be reassurance.
Yeah, and I guess empowering women to make healthy choices as well, because sometimes I feel the line really gets blurred between health and body size. Because actually we can have someone that's BMI is really quite low, and that doesn't mean that they're healthy and they're nourishing their body and their baby, but there's this focus on that number rather than actually that nourishment of this human being.
Exactly. And one thing that we say to women, of course, as soon as they're pregnant is, well, we don't know it's safe for you to lose weight now, so don't try to lose weight. But here are all the risks of your BMI, as we've calculated it. And I did want to talk a little bit about weight gain and healthy eating and what to expect from your pregnancy care, because I've got a few pointers for pregnancy, but I'm really conscious that there is no kind of one size fits all. And actually, our evidence is a little bit weak around this. In the UK, we don't actually have any formal guidance to give to women for pregnancy weight gain. So if someone says to us, how much weight should I be thinking I should gain during pregnancy? In the UK, the national guide experts who write the guidelines don't think the evidence is strong enough for us to give any formal advice. So if you're internet searching, you might see American guidelines. So they have guidelines there. So similarly, there's no special guidance. And women in my experience, plus size women, they want to know, is there anything special that I should know about nutrition during pregnancy? What you'll get from NHS midwives is the standard advice about foods to avoid, healthy eating. There's nothing kind of tailored, there's nothing kind of specialist. If you have an NHS dietitian appointment, then what you'll get is kind of things like, you might get shown the healthy plate. The NHS healthy plate is an absolute pet hate of mine, or any guidance that you get given. Basically, what I've always found is that plus size women feel very patronized by the advice that they're given, because I think if you're shown a healthy plate or told what is healthy eating, there is that implication there that perhaps you don't know what healthy eating is, and that
an assumption
need to be told.
That you just eat McDonald's.
Yeah. And my experience, Piff, is that plus size women, they absolutely know what healthy eating is all about. They're experts in their own weight, in their own bodies, and they want something kind of a little bit extra from us pregnancy experts. And we don't really have that to give. Mm. And there are some really brilliant resources out there. And I know you had Rhiannon Retrition the other week on the podcast, like, absolutely fantastic. Quite tempted to buy her pregnancy book just for me.
It's very good. It's so got some lovely recipes in.
My pregnancies are a while in the past, but yeah, absolutely fantastic. But that's not specialist for plus size, but don't think it should be. Just eat healthy, nutritious food. I'm really conscious always about giving that advice, because it's that kind of assumption that people need advice, that they need to be told. But if anybody wants advice from me, I think it's best to kind of keep it really simple. There's no complicated magic formula to what you should be eating. Eating proper food, but the main thing I would say to any pregnant woman is avoiding sugar and avoiding added sugar, because diabetes is something that we're at increased risk of as soon as we're pregnant. Pregnancy is a risk for diabetes, so avoiding sugar. Those little treats, and often some of those treats that other people push on us because they come out, trot out the sort of eating for two stuff. Lots of pregnant women have told me that pregnancy feels like that time when, I don't have to, try to lose weight anymore. So everyone's histories are really complicated, and I can't kind of give that bespoke advice here, but definitely my number one is sugar. Sugar's everywhere.
It's in our breakfast cereal, isn't it? Like, it's literally ever in our bread, like so challenging.
Bread, it's just there's some evil people out there in the food industry that want to shovel sugar into us.
They haven't made it easy for us though, have they? Because you think bread you consider as a savory thing, so you would assume that it wouldn't have sugar in, so they haven't made it easy for us to navigate. I just want to take a mini pause whilst we're on the topic of body size and nutrition to share with you some of the incredible benefits of a healthy diet in pregnancy, from shaping your baby's taste preference to supporting their immune system and cognitive development. What we eat really is super powerful during pregnancy. To hear more about how you can optimize your diet in pregnancy, and for free recipes designed by the wonderful chef, Lorraine Pascal, head over to www.apticlub.co.uk/midwifepip.
Oh, no. And that's quite deliberate. But yeah, so that's my number one advice. If anybody does want some simple dietary advice to follow.
Thanks, Alice. That's really helpful. Now, you mentioned their diabetes. I wonder if we can just touch on some of those potential risks or difficulties that may be associated with a plus size pregnancy. Now, I know that you've mentioned that when we look at statistics, it's really important we talk about numbers. So if someone says to you, your risk of XYZ has doubled, please ask from what to what, because that allows you to make a real informed plan, I suppose. But what are some of the potentials that women may hear when they're navigating the system?
Sure. Well, yeah, and I'm glad you raised diabetes as an example, because we'll kind of use that to as an example with the numbers and kind of understanding risk a little bit better. So anyone can develop diabetes in pregnancy, as I said, and if you're plus size, your chances are higher, but they are still less than 1 in 10 throughout the whole of your pregnancy. Now I'm not quoting that to say don't worry about it, and we just talked a little bit there about sugar and the link between eating sugar and diabetes. So what I'm really, really keen is to reassure people that you are not likely to get diabetes. And there is a lot you can do to keep healthy and to lessen those chances. So, you know, make sure you have that focus on your health, your well-being, and your happiness in your pregnancy, and having that holistic approach to your pregnancy wellness. And really, so that example of diabetes, that can run across all those risks that might be higher if you're plus size. So what's important is that if you're looking at the evidence about kind of the national guidelines, you know, as I said before, your chances of everything in pregnancy that can become complicated are still low, and you're still more likely to have no complications at all. Now, the extra screening that you might be offered will be around things like perhaps having extra scans, because linked to diabetes, sometimes midwives and doctors think the chances of your baby growing a little bit bigger are higher. But again, we're not awfully brilliant at predicting who, or measuring, or even scans are not always entirely accurate. And I would kind of go back to that, asking questions. Everyone's different. Sounds like a really obvious thing to say, but unfortunately, these brilliant doctors and midwives, we practice in NHS, often in really big trusts, and sometimes that sort of personalised approach can become a little bit lost. So, you know, advocating for yourself and asking the questions, having that courage and having your supporter with you to ask the questions about, you know, what does this mean for me? Why is this recommended for me? It's really important. So I'm reluctant, hesitant to kind of to list all of the risks. The guidelines say that we should, as midwives, discuss risk with women, but that's, as you've probably gathered from what I've said so far, is kind of not part of my ethos. I don't think we should be kind of trotting out all of these increased risks, because it's so complicated what that means to you as an individual. And I really don't want to encourage anyone to sort of shrug their shoulders and think that they can't kind of be healthy in pregnancy, or be upset by anything that I say. So your midwife should be able to talk to you about all of the interventions that you are offered, and give you the good reasons for why they're offered as well.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that your ethos isn't to kind of ignore the weight thing. So I think for some people, they think, well, I don't want to address this stigma or be put down a line of additional scans, so I'm just not going to be weighed, and we'll just like hide away from it. Actually, it's, let's, you know, have these extra appointments, understand that actually there's lots that I can do to embrace a lovely, happy, healthy pregnancy and nourish my body and my baby. And I love that, because in pregnancy, we should be feeling so incredibly proud of our bodies and enjoying the journey that we're on. And I hate the idea that someone doesn't feel that, or does feel embarrassed or stigmatized or judged because of their size of their body. And I can't believe that in the era that we are now in, that is still such a high topic of conversation. It's such a
Oh, sure. And I mean, I occasionally meet midwives and doctors who think that it's important that we discuss risk. It's important that we tell plus size women that increased weight puts them at risk, because, you know, that they should be aware of that. And that does make me like want to sort of throw things out of the window, because it does make me so cross, because over the years I've met hundreds, probably thousands actually now, of plus size women, and everyone's different, they have different experiences, but every woman I meet wants to be healthy for her and her baby, and they do have concerns regarding their weight. They want information, and they want their midwife to be on board with them, but they don't want to be told a great big long list of risks that they're at every single appointment. Yeah, and every woman also that I meet wants to feel in control of her pregnancy and her own plans. So that is such an important part of, you know, that's where we should come from in our approach to care, you know, our kind of starting point as midwives.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference, isn't there, when we tell women about a risk, if we are saying your risk of dying, and these are made up statistics, I don't know the numbers, but there's a difference if we say, you know, your risk of diabetes is 3 times higher because your BMI is 36 instead of 32, compared to if we say your risk is, I don't know, 1% and then it's doubled to 2%. That 2% risk feels very different to a doubling risk. And we know that there are so many other risk factors for something like diabetes, whether it's your ethnicity or a family history. And so if you've got one risk factor or three or four, again, that's a really different conversation. We can't just have a blanket rule, can we?
I actually think, you know, so when you ask the question about what are the risks, I actually think that potentially the number one risk is it is this massive focus on risk, because we talk about, you know, if you think about the sort of mind body duality, actually the guidelines that for plus size, for example, that only looks at the body, and we know that the mind and we know so much more, not enough, about how the mind and the body are connected and how we feel, and the anxiety we might feel during pregnancy, it, you know, affects us physically.
So, and our babies, you know, stress has a massive impact on development.
Exactly, quite. And so in itself, you know, and there is actually lots more research out there now about how stigma is actually, you know, a recognized risk factor. It's really a huge part of the risk that we perhaps are imposing on women in the way that we approach our discussions. And yes, what you were talking about there, Pip, is actually the difference between absolute and relative risk, but we're getting a bit epidemiological now. Simplify that. To go back to the diabetes example, in pregnancy, if your BMI is within what's called the normal range, your risk across the whole population of developing diabetes during pregnancy is around about 3%. And if you're plus size, it's somewhere between kind of 7 and 10.3% overall across the whole population. And so that can accurately be expressed as 3 times greater. Yeah. But it looks very different when you actually say what so the risk is somewhere around or less than 1 in 10. So you have that, you know. But again, they're all sort of just quite blunt, quite crude, and it's not, you know, you're not looking at the whole experience and focusing on health and looking at the ways that you can stay healthy. No one can say to an individual, these are your risks of this, isn't this? So you know, all of this focus can be very sort of damaging, misleading, and not very useful, I don't think.
Yeah, nowhere near as useful as the actual practical health and wellbeing advice. So I love that. One of the other things I just wanted to touch on, Alice, I'm stealing lots of your time.
That's okay.
Is around birth choices. Because I think this is quite often where women may find themselves really having to advocate for themselves within the NHS system. And one of the common ones that I hear all the time, and I'm very blessed to work in a trust where we're brilliant at actually having individualized care plans that support women's choices. But I know that's not always the case everywhere. And sometimes it might feel like a little bit of a fight, unfortunately. Mm. But one of the ones I see all the time is, raise BMI, sorry to use that term, but it's what women will unfortunately hear quite often. And choices around place of birth and water birth. Have you got any advice for women listening that might have been told, again, horrible word, but have been told in brackets, you can't have a water birth because your BMI, or you can't be on the birth centre because of your BMI? Because women will have heard these things, won't they?
Oh, yes. You know, lots of women. So, yes, I do. And you're right that it does vary across different trusts. And there are some sort of fantastic midwives that are really advocating for individualised care plans. And often that does come from, it pushes up and pushes down. So you have a great culture at a particular hospital. And that comes from the sort of the great individuals that work in that trust and, you know, keep that good care and that individualized approach at the heart of things, and that's really brilliant. But I think if you are a pregnant woman and you sort of feel like you're up against this big machine of this trust that's telling you what their guidelines are, and let's think about what that means, the word guidelines, it's to give guidance, not a rule. And in fact, it brings us back to, is plus size a complication in itself, or is it something that raises the chances of complications? And there is a subtle difference there. So if you get to the point at the end of your pregnancy, ready to give birth, and you haven't had any complications, everything's been really straightforward, are you in fact still to be considered high risk in the eyes of your trust? Could they still put that label on you? And in fact, if you look at the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists guidelines, the RCOG guidelines, which are called care of women with obesity in pregnancy, and I would always use that term with inverted commas around it, but that's the title of the document, and it's available freely online, that can be Googled. The advice there is that anybody who does not experience complications during labour and birth can be looked after as per routine care during labour and birth. So in other words, with plus size kind of out of the equation, in a sort of low risk, low surveillance way, which would lend itself to giving birth in a midwife-led unit. In other words, you don't need that high-tech surveillance. If your pregnancy is uncomplicated, that is a massive tick in the sort of normal inverted commas box, and gives you that great confidence that your labour and your birth are going to be uncomplicated too. So you can absolutely arm yourself with that. Here are those RCOG guidelines actually that say this. And similarly with water birth, the water birth guidelines, you know, at your individual trust, there may be some guidelines which say if your BMI is above a certain number, you are not recommended, you are recommended to have your baby in a consultant-led unit, a labour ward, a high-tech labour ward. Those are guidelines, and you are absolutely entitled to have a discussion with a senior midwife if that's what you need, and there will be somebody assigned at the trust who you can access. And I would suggest that you try to access them fairly early during your sort of second trimester or early in your third trimester if you need to find out who that person is to have that conversation. And that person will be very, very used to talking to women who are considered to be too plus size or too old or whatever it is to give birth in the midwife-led unit. And they're usually very sensible and very skilled at coming up with that individualised plan for you. So, it's almost, I often think of it as kind of taking plus size out of the equation. Have you got complications or have you not got complications? So, and in a sense, the plus size is not, it's not the complication. It's kind of an irrelevance. You need that individualised care plan being made.
Yeah, I love that. And having that guidance to arm you with is quite nice, because it can feel sometimes quite difficult to initiate that conversation. Whereas if you can say, oh, I was actually just reading this and it says this, and I feel like that applies to me. That can sometimes be a really nice, gentle lead in to give you confidence to have that conversation if that's something you struggle with. So that's really helpful and practical advice, Alice. So thank you.
Very welcome.
Now, everyone that comes on the podcast, Alice, I ask for 3 top tips. And I know you could probably give us 303 top tips because this is an area of such passion for you. But I wonder if you could give us your 3 top tips for perhaps women listening who are navigating plus size pregnancy.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of, so you gave me the heads up on this one. And of course, I've heard you asking other people. I was trying to think.
You can't escape.
No, I'm not. I'm gonna cheat a little bit because I've got like a headline and then my 3 top tips.
That's fine. That's okay. As we said, there's no rules.
And I think I hope I've got this message across already, but the headline is really, you absolutely can have a healthy plus size pregnancy. There's loads you can do to that end. So my 3 top tips. So the first one is ask. Don't let plus size mean that you don't ask. You absolutely deserve respect, sensitive care, information, and to be in control of your pregnancy and the choices that are made. So the second one is about support. Surround yourself with lovely, supportive people, your family, your friends, your partner, a supportive online community. Head over to theheavyweightmidwife.com. Just pointing back to the talking about navigating the recommendations in pregnancy and the extra surveillance. I've got a free pregnancy plus size guide that you can access if you head over to theheavyweightmidwife.com and ask your midwife to be your supporter. You know, be as open as you can with her. As I was saying, if you can say something like in that consultation, I'm quite sensitive about my tummy being touched, or I'm quite sensitive about my weight, I'm self-conscious. If you can be as open as you can, that can help to just to ease into that trust and that that relationship that can be so helpful to you in pregnancy. And lastly, make a plan. So I love plans. Always have a plan. Plan for your healthy pregnancy, you know, plan what you're going to be eating, plan for your, and plan absolutely plan for your birth. So treat your birth plan like a project. Write things down. It will really help you always feel in control. I've got some antenatal workshops and classes to guide women and couples through making plans, navigating through antenatal care, but also making birth plans with lots of tips and really practical advice about planning and being in control.
Amazing. Oh, Alice, you're such a star. Now, anyone who wants to check out Alice's resources, they are all linked in the episode description. So on Instagram, Alice is at The Heavyweight Midwife. She's also at theheavyweightmidwife.com. So it's very easy to remember. And also, and very excitingly, if you are plus size and trying to conceive or pregnant, Alice is going to have some sort of pregnancy and antenatal courses specifically dedicated to plus size women. So please keep your eye out for those, because just by talking to Alice, I know they're going to be absolutely fantastic.
Oh, thank you, Pip.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your wisdom. I know this is going to be a massive, massive help to so many women listening that are feeling that stigma that you've described. So thank you so much for your time.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you for having me on, and thanks for the wonderful work that you do. You're fantastic.
If you've enjoyed this chat and want to hear more on this topic, head over to midwifepip.com, where you'll find my accompanying blog post with highlights, my thoughts, extra information, and additional resources. And remember, leaving a review on my podcast, if you've enjoyed listening, really does make a huge difference to helping me reach more women with honest, reliable information. So please take a moment to do this, because when women support women, amazing things happen.